Amen. Yeah. Out of that testimony, it's like I feel like I was more blessed than she was, because here she was just testifying about what God did in her life to this homeless man. But it's like I was blessed that day. She was blessed. Homeless man was blessed. It was amazing what God did that day. Today my title is Faith in Jesus' Name. And you can turn with me to Acts chapter 3. I'm going to start at verse 1. I'm going to read this from the NLT. So Acts 3, verse 1 says, Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. And so just to point out, of course, as we know, this was not very long after Jesus Christ was, crucified on the cross, rose again from the dead. And the Holy, this was after Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit came down. And so originally, they were afraid, the disciples were afraid, but now they're going to the temple to, for this prayer service at 3 o'clock. So verse 2 says, as they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. So what I want to do now at this moment, because this says that each day this lame man was put beside the temple gate. So hold your place in Acts chapter 3, but turn with me to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, and this is going to be verses 20, 52 and 53. And this is when they came to take Jesus from the garden. So Luke 22, 52 says, then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be you come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour in the power of darkness. So this points out that Jesus was daily in the temple. And in Acts, it says the lame man was carried each day to the temple gate. So there's a very, very high chance that Jesus Christ himself, when he was on the earth, walked past this lame man. So now turn with me to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21, and this is going to be verses 14 through 16. Says, and the blind and the lame came to him, which is Jesus, in the temple, and he healed them. So there were lame men and blind men, people who need healing, were coming to Jesus in the temple. And so I'm sure this guy, if he was there each day, he was there at the temple when this was happening. I also want to point out 15 and 16, which says, and when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, yes, have you never heard out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? It's amazing because these were the chief priests and scribes, and they saw what Jesus was doing in the temple. And it's, you should be worshiping Jesus, but yet they're, which of course was the whole plan. They had to, they were displeased with him, instead of worshiping him like the children. And yet this isn't significant too, because I'm sure if this lame man was sitting outside the gate there, he probably heard this praise, He probably heard about what was happening inside the temple with these lame men and blind men getting healed. And then turn with me one more to John chapter 9. And verses 1 through 3. So John 9, 1 through 3. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So back in Acts chapter 3, verse 2, it said that this lame man was lame from birth, just like this blind man. And Jesus told the disciples that this blind man was blind from birth, not because of sin, but that the glory of God may be made manifest. And so this is exactly what is going to happen here to this lame man, which is why I believe this lame man was not healed while Jesus was there with them. So basically, I want to continue on with Acts chapter 3, verse 3. So it says, when he saw, which is the lame man, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, Look at us. And I just want to point out that, you know, here it was, Peter and John were, you know, on their way to a prayer service, and all of a sudden this lame man kind of interrupts them, asking them for money. They could have been like, well, we're running late for this prayer service, we got to get in there and go. But, you know, it shows you that you got to be willing to be interrupted by people. And then verse 5, the lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's porch, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. People of Israel, he said, what is so surprising about this? And why stare at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power or godliness? For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all our ancestors, who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. This is the same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate, despite Pilate's decision to release him. You rejected this holy, righteous one, and instead demanded the release of a murderer. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this fact. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. And do you know how crippled he was before? Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. So this is an amazing testimony of what's going on. You know, this is what Jesus was talking about. You know, this man, that blind man, was blind from birth, so the glory of God could be made manifest. And this is exactly what happened. This is why I believe this lame man wasn't healed when Jesus was on the earth there and walked with him. So let's continue on. Verse 17. Oh, but I do want to point out that, you know, that's all you need is faith in Jesus' name. Like anything that you're going through today, whether it's a sickness, you know, health issue, whether it's mental, emotional, spiritual, you know, we know whatever we have need of, it's just faith in the name of Jesus. We know that his name is above every other name. Okay, so 17. And this, of course, is Peter continuing to talk to them. Friends, I realize that what you and your leaders did to Jesus was done in ignorance. But God was fulfilling what all the prophets had foretold about the Messiah, that he must suffer these things. Now repent of your sins and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, and he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. For he must remain in heaven until the time for the final restoration of all things, as God promised long ago through his holy prophets. Moses said, The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. Listen carefully to everything he tells you. Then Moses said, Anyone who will not listen to that prophet will be completely cut off from God's people. Starting with Samuel, every prophet spoke about what is happening today. You are the children of those prophets, and you are included in the covenant God promised to your ancestors. For God said to Abraham, through your descendants, all the families on earth will be blessed. When God raised up his servant Jesus, he sent him first to you, people of Israel, to bless you by turning each of you back from your sinful ways. And then continue on with Acts chapter 4, verse 1. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priest, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. These leaders were very disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus there was a resurrection of the dead, which again is amazing because, you know, this isn't very long after Jesus died and rose again from the grave. And they're still, you know, they are upset about that. Verse 3, they arrested them, and since it was already evening, put them in jail until morning. And so here's the main verse I want you to get. Verse 4 says, but many of the people who heard their message believed it. So the number of men who believe now totaled about 5,000. So that, I believe, is why, again, if this lame man was lame from birth, and it says each day they carried him to the gate of the temple beautiful, you know, and Jesus, it doesn't specifically say, but there's a high chance that Jesus may walk right past this guy while he was on earth or seen him. Yet he wasn't healed. And like it says in one of the other scriptures, it says that, you know, lame men and people that needed healing were brought to the temple so Jesus could heal them. And that's where this guy was. He was at the gate of the temple. Yet he himself didn't get healed at that time. But he did get healed when Peter and John came by him. And yet, because of that, it gave Peter the opportunity to tell this crowd about Jesus Christ. And because of that, it says 5,000 men got saved that day. So imagine if Jesus had healed that lame man, then Peter would never have this opportunity. So it just shows you that, you know, and again, that all goes back to the faith of Jesus' name, that God's timing is perfect. You know, a lot of times we go through things, you know, I could imagine that lame man, you know, if he was there at the gate and he heard all these people getting healed, he's like, well, what about me, you know? But yet it wasn't his time yet. God knew that, you know, he was going to get healed, but it just wasn't his time. And because of the timing of his healing, many came to know Jesus. So I just, you know, I wrote down, you know, one lame man healed, 5,000 men saved. Isn't that amazing, you know? And then I put down all because of faith in Jesus' name. It's just amazing, you know, what God does, you know. So it's encouraging to know that, you know, again, think about this. This guy, day after day, he had to beg, you know, can you give me some money? Give me some food. You know, he was lame from birth. And yet, because of the timing of Jesus, because of the faith in Jesus Christ, not only did he get healed and was jumping and praising God, but 5,000 men got saved. So it's just encouraging to know that whatever it is that you go through, you are overcome and conquer. You know, we are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. And again, his name is above every name. So just speak his name over anything that you have going on in your life today. So that is it.
Amen. That was encouraging.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That was so encouraging. I was actually just thinking this week of that, the blind man that everybody asked, so whose sin was that? Was it his father or his mother? And I kept thinking, you know, the way that they thought was Old Testament thinking, because in the Old Testament, the law declared that if your parents sinned, then it would fall on your children and they would get some kind of curse. And so they wanted to know, well, whose sin was it? Was it the father or the mother? Because they were used to thinking that way. But Jesus came and he changed how everybody believed. He turned everything upside down because love was the original purpose. God's original purpose was for his people to have relationship and love him because he loved them. Amen? All right, praise God. That was wonderful. So the title of my sermon is Don't Be Afraid. And, you know, I don't know if anybody has heard, but Israel went ahead and attacked Iran this week. And, you know, sometimes I don't think people grasp how important Israel is to the whole world. All of history circles around this one little nation that God set apart. That out of this one little nation would come the Savior of the world. This one little nation. And people think that because Jesus died on the cross, that Israel is not relevant anymore. Christians in particular think that. And so they don't realize how important Israel actually is. But it is still important. Israel is still a covenanted people of the Lord. We are the ones who are grafted in to that covenant, right? Yes. So when something happens in Israel, be assured that it is like when you throw a rock in a pond and the ripples start flowing from that rock. When something happens in Israel, it flows to the entire world, especially to the body of Christ. When things are affecting the people of Israel, be assured that there will be battles that we will face in our lives. That is why my sermon today is Don't Be Afraid. Because things that are happening in Israel are going to affect your life if you are a believer. Amen. So I was thinking about what is happening in the world can be frightening, it can be discouraging, it can be challenging. Not only to our faith, but to our families, our close families. But sometimes we look at what's going on in the world, and because we have so much going on in our own lives and in our own hearts, that we almost could care less about things that are happening in the world. Because we're like, well, I've got all of this going on inside of me, so why is that even important to me? I have way too much going on in my own life. I don't have time to think about Israel. I don't have time to pray about Israel. I don't have time to pray about my nation. I don't have time to pray about this election because I've got so much going on in my own life. And that is where the devil deceives the body of Christ, right? He makes us think that it's all about us, all about our own problems, all about our own issues, all about our own selves. And that is not how it is. We are a body of Christ, a body, members, individual fit together, right? Yep. So yesterday when I was praying and I was thinking about all the stuff that was going on, the Lord spoke to me, don't be afraid of the devil's plans. My plans are so much greater. And I just thought, boy, that is awesome. I just kept thinking about, wow, you know, like we can think about whatever is going on in this world. But when we know that God's plans are greater, that He is going to have the final victory and the final say-so in everything, the devil is just a defeated foe. And we can't look at him as if he's something special because he's not. He is defeated, right? So last week, I talked about how our spirits are sealed by the Holy Spirit and how Jesus is the door that protects our hearts. So today, I want to strengthen your faith. I want to strengthen your inner man because that is through whom you live and move and have your being. Amen. John 6:63, and this is the ESV, it says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. I love how it puts that. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. And I want you to turn to Psalm chapter 2. I'm going to read 2 and 3. Chapters 2 and 3 in the New Living Translation. And what this is just God declaring to his people who Jesus is for us. Amen. So Psalm chapter 2, verse 1. Why are the nations so angry? Why do they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepare for battle. The rulers plot together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains, they cry, and free ourselves from slavery to God. But the one who rules in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then in anger he rebukes them, terrifying them with his fierce fury. For the Lord declares, I have placed my chosen king on the throne in Jerusalem, on my holy mountain. The king proclaims the Lord's decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Only ask, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance, the whole earth as your possession. You will break them with an iron rod and smash them like clay pots. Now then, you kings, act wisely. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with reverent fear and rejoice with trembling. Submit to God's royal son, or he will become angry. And you will be destroyed in the midst of all your activities, for his anger flares up in an instant. But what joy for all who take refuge in him. Amen. And then chapter 3, verse 1. O Lord, I have so many enemies, so many are against me. So many are saying God will never rescue him. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You are my glory, the one who holds my head high. I cried out to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy mountain. I lay down and slept, yet I woke up in safety, for the Lord was watching over me. I am not afraid of 10,000 enemies who surround me on every side. Arise, O Lord, rescue me, my God. Slap all my enemies in the face. Shatter the teeth of the wicked. Victory comes from you, O Lord. May you bless your people. And this is David's cry to the Lord. And this is so interesting because this is the time when he is fleeing from his son Absalom. And he has realized that everything that he was blessed with was taken because he was ignorant to some things that were going on in his kingdom. And even in that, he knows that God is his rescuer, that God is his help in time of need. So let me tell you, no matter what is going on in your life, no matter what has happened, your heart must be ready to turn to the Lord in an instant. Amen. No matter what decisions that you have made, if your heart is not to the Lord, he cannot rescue you. If you do not cry out to him, he cannot rescue you. You have to have your heart to the Lord. He knows your heart. He knows where you stand. Amen? And I want you to turn to Psalm chapter 21. I'm also going to read this in the New Living. And this is an encouraging chapter. Psalm 21, verse 1. How the king rejoices in your strength, O Lord. He shouts with joy because you give him victory. For you have given him his heart's desire. You have withheld nothing he requested. You welcomed him back with success and prosperity. You placed a crown of finest gold on his head. He asked you to preserve his life, and you granted his request. The days of his life stretch on forever. Your victory brings him great honor, and you have clothed him with splendor and majesty. You have endowed him with eternal blessings and given him the joy of your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord. The unfailing love of the Most High will keep him from stumbling. You will capture all your enemies. Your strong right hand will seize all who hate you. You will throw them in a flaming furnace when you appear. The Lord will consume them in his anger. Fire will devour them. You will wipe their children from the face of the earth. They will never have descendants. Although they plot against you, their evil schemes will never succeed, for they will turn and run when they see your arrows aimed at them. Rise up, O Lord, in all your power. With music and singing, we celebrate your mighty acts. And for this, You know, we can picture this for Israel. It's easy to see what God has done. It's easy to see how awesome He has defended His people. I mean, one little tiny nation can do amazing things because God is behind that one little tiny nation. Amen. Here we are, the United States, and we have probably the most powerful things in the whole entire world. We're the greatest superpower, or we think we are. And yet, we are nothing compared to the nation of Israel. Amen. Because our nation, it is tied to Israel, but we are not God's chosen people like Israel is. If our people turn from the Lord, individually we can turn back to Him. And our nation was set apart from the Lord. But it is not like Israel as much as we think it is. God will not do the same for us as he is doing for Israel unless our whole country is turned to Him. Amen. And that's kind of a hard thing to face because someday in our future, something will happen to our nation. And people will cry out to the Lord and they will be like, God, we set this nation apart for You. We came over to this land. We called You Lord. We said You are our Lord. And we turned to You. And because our nation, people in our nation have turned from the Lord so much, we have welcomed in gods from other nations. Things in this country will not be like what we think it will be. And our hearts have to be prepared for that. No matter what happens, whether we have this country or we don't have this country, whether we are captives in another nation or not, our hearts have to be ready. I love this country dearly. I love this nation dearly. This is a nation that is so special because people came over here for the reason to worship the Lord. But we cannot lift this nation above the nation of Israel. And that is what a lot of people are doing. And that is where it has to stop. The United States will never be the chosen Israel that the chosen Israel is. We cannot put ourselves above the kingdom of God, above what He has done. We are a part of His kingdom. We are not the kingdom. Amen? And that is kind of a hard word for people to hear sometimes because they think that the United States is the next Israel. And they think that the United States should be where God should come and God should return and God should reign. But God's word is the truth and it will not return to Him void. What He has promised, what He has prophesied, what He has declared will happen. And we as His people cannot get in the way. We just have to listen to Him. Amen. Rejoice in His strength, not in your own. Every verse in Psalm 21 is a promise, a security of God's word that He will achieve for you what He has said, a promise that His word will not return to Him void. If you believe in His Son, His promises are for you. Without faith in Jesus Christ, reading His word does not make sense. It doesn't fit without the door being opened. When you come to Jesus, when you open your heart to Him, a supernatural thing happens in your spirit. What was dead is now alive. His word went into your spirit and became life in you. Amen. Every lie the enemy has said about you becomes less powerful. Anything that He has told you, any lie gets exposed at that point. You are now filled with the Spirit of truth. Your whole being is changed because you are a new creature. It's kind of like heart surgery. When it is successful, you become new. Your old heart is gone. You would have died without a new heart. Just like without a new heart of Jesus in you, without Him changing your heart, you would be in eternal damnation, eternal death. But because Jesus put a new heart in you, you are alive, alive forevermore. Amen? Yes. Let me tell you that without Jesus, your whole being is suffering. It is weary of the past. It is burdened with pain. It is filled with worry and fear of reasons you may not even know. It is just always there without Jesus. You lack eternal purpose, eternal blessings. But Jesus came here to show us how to return home. He came here to change all of those things so that we could live in eternity with him. Jesus, if you don't get anything else out of this, the main thing that you need to remember today is that he loves you. He loves you dearly. And nothing else in this world can take away his love for you. Nothing. It says in the word, no height, no depth, nothing. There is nothing that the enemy can do to you to take God's love for you unless you believe that he doesn't love you. And that is a lie. And that is the only power that the enemy has, is power to lie and to deceive. And then we give him that power in our lives. We give him that when we believe those lies. Amen. So this week I watched this video from Annette Capps called Being Ready, Be Ready and Get Ready. And it was so incredible to me. And I was thinking about, you know, how so many Christians, we get onto this, you know, what does the future hold? And we want to kind of like analyze and pick it out. And, you know, I want everything to be prepared for exactly right. You know, I want to be prepared for whatever is coming. And let me tell you, we are never going to be prepared enough without Jesus. When God spoke to Joseph and he told him, and Joseph interpreted the dream for Pharaoh, Joseph told Pharaoh what to do, and they prepared for what they needed to do. But when Moses took the Israelites to the Red Sea, there was no preparing for that. They just had to stand there and trust God, and God had to make the water split in two. Moses wasn't prepared for that, but he was prepared to follow God, and he was prepared to do whatever God wanted him. When we get into whatever is going to happen in the future in these coming days, there may be times where God shows us like Joseph. He may speak to us in dreams and say, this is what you need to prepare for, just like he did Annette Capps. And she told everybody she really felt like we need to have water on hand, basic essentials, but for some reason water really stood out to her. And so, you know, that's like God was revealing that to her in a dream, and he showed that to her. And so that's like God speaking to Joseph, preparing for what to do. But at some point, we are going to come to our lives, and there is going to be some disaster, something that is going to push us up against the Red Sea, where we won't know what to do except cry out to the Lord, and he will split the sea for us. Amen? So our hearts can't be afraid of what we're expecting or not expecting. Amen? Our hearts have to be ready either way. Amen? So no matter what comes upon us, our nation, our churches, our battles belong to the Lord. If Joshua could tell the sun to stand still during a fierce battle, what do you think we can do when we go into battle or to war or to anything that might happen? We know in our future that something, another world war is destined to happen. We know that is going to happen. We know there's a potential of nuclear exchanges. Many prophets have prophesied that there are some things that can't be changed. And so what are we going to do? What if our economy collapses tomorrow? And, you know, it says in the Bible where the price of a loaf of bread is an entire day's wage. What if our economy comes to that, where we go to the store and we want a loaf of bread and it's $100 or $200 or $500? What are we going to do at that point? Are we going to stand up against the wall and be fearful and blame, like the people blame Moses? You brought us here. Why are we here? We're going to die. We're up against this Red Sea and it's the end. And Moses holds up his rod. He prays to the Lord, and God tells him, what's in your hand? You do something about it. And Moses holds up his rod and the Red Seas depart. So what are we going to do? when the economy collapses, when World War III starts, when our families are off to war, when we are here alone, when half of the people that we love are gone, how are we going to react? How are we going to support our nation? How are we going to support our neighbors? How are we going to work? How are we going to love people? We will do it all by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. We will stand just like Moses did. We will pull out the word, whatever God has given us, and we will speak to whatever is coming against us, and we will split the sea that is blocking God's plan for our lives. Amen. God says that He will always take care of His people. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Amen. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." In the Amplified Classic, it says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven and cringing and fawning fear, but He has given us a spirit of power and love and of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control." Inside of us is a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. We are to live out of our spirits in order to respond to the trials and challenges we are faced with in this world. And I want you to turn to Luke chapter 10. And what I want to do is I want to break down each one of these so that you know that you know that you know that the Spirit of God is inside of you. Luke chapter 10, I'm going to start at verse 17. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as a lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Your power over the enemy comes from Jesus living inside of you. He defeated the enemy at the cross, and with him you have complete victory. Amen. Complete victory, not partial, not something that will ever happen, but complete victory. And just like it says in Psalm 21:5, your victory brings him great honor. Isn't that awesome? Your victory brings him great honor. You need this power to destroy strongholds of the enemy that were given to him by his deceit over people. What the enemy is doing in this world, you need the power of God to break what he has done. You need this power to loose blessings that have been taken by the enemy. You need this power to expose darkness and every lie and deception. We have the spirit of love inside of us. And there's a difference between human love and affection and God's love that is placed into our spirits. His love is supernatural. It goes beyond affection, friendship, and even romance. It is agape love, the greatest and most amazing selfless love that exists. It is full of kindness, compassion, and gentleness. It never expects anything in return. God's love is unconditional. Isn't that awesome? 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." Amen. Spiritual growth and maturity comes from the love of God made perfect in your life. And that is not anything that you can do, but Jesus in you is what causes that love to work. Amen. It causes that love to have action in your life if you have faith in him. 1 Corinthians 13, you can read this later on. The whole chapter explains how love actually sets us apart as true believers in Jesus. Without love, our greatest efforts are meaningless. Without the love of God, we can do everything in this life And in the end, it's not really going to make a difference. We need the love of God. We have the spirit of a sound mind in us. Why do we need a sound mind? Can't we just handle things on our own?
No.
With our own knowledge, know-how, experience, intelligence?
No.
Why do we need the sound mind of our spirits? Can't we just figure out people on our own? If you don't believe in Jesus, then yes, you wouldn't think about making decisions without Him. Your thoughts would only be about yourself and your closest family and friends. When you don't think about Jesus, when He's not on your radar, that's all you care about. Not about the future that God has planned. Without Jesus, you miss out on a special kind of peace that God's Word says passes all understanding. His peace is beyond what our physical minds can comprehend. It brings stability when life and situations are falling apart. It brings understanding when confusion and pain try to take over. It brings level-headedness when the world is in strife and panic. It gives the ability to make godly and wise decisions when faced with adversity or sudden calamities. With a sound mind, you are thinking like Jesus because you have the mind of Christ in your spirit. You have the power to refuse to give in to fear. Isn't that awesome? You have that power inside of you. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." So let me ask you today, is your mind stayed on the Lord?
Yes.
Whatever is going on in this world, whatever is coming against you, put your mind on the Lord. If you need that peace of God today, put your mind on Him. Think about Him. Talk to Him. What does He want you to do? What is He speaking to you? Where does He want you to go? What does He want you to do? Amen. Until Jesus returns, the battles will not change. They will just become more frequent and maybe look a little different. But it's the same battles. The devil, people put this on him like they think he knows the future, but He is limited. God knows the future. God knows what's going to happen. The only future that the devil knows is that someday he's going to get thrown into the lake of fire. That is his destiny. That is his end and his means. But God knows the plan for your life. So whatever the enemy is saying, whatever he is speaking to you, whatever plan he is telling you that is going on in this world, God's plans are so much greater. His plans for you are to have power and love and a sound mind. His plans are for you to be blessed, not just blessed on this earth, but blessed eternally. Jesus, He's the one who showed us how to get home. He came here. He died on the cross because He wants us to be home with Him. Amen? Do you want to be home with Him? For some of us, Aunt Jessie's like, I want to go right now.
Yeah,
and we're like, cool your jets. You know, sometimes we look at the things of this world and we truly do want to go home right now. It's like, man, I just can't go through this anymore. I'm ready to be home with Jesus. But we are here for a reason. Amen. These battles, whether it's out in this world or in your job or in your home, whatever it is, God is going to help you with those battles. Amen. They're not different from any day to the next. Sometimes they may seem like they're the only battle you've ever faced. Like this one can't be any worse than all the others. But when you get through it, you'll know that God is on your side. Amen. So today, make the choice to get through it, because that is a sound mind. 1 Peter 4:7, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. When you are praying, you have to force yourself to stop worrying about things. You have to force yourself to forgive. You have to force yourself to love. And just like I read earlier, your flesh is no help at all. Amen. But when Jesus speaks into your life through his word, every word that he speaks helps you to make it through your life. Every word that he speaks gives you guidance. It gives you power. It gives you love. It gives you a sound mind. So my question at the very end, I'm closing out, is what is God speaking to you today? What is he telling you to do? Maybe he's told you something and you're just like, God, I don't know how that's even possible. I don't even know how I can do that. Whatever it is, God's plans are so much greater. Amen. He does not want you to be afraid. The first thing that God says whenever an angel appears to people is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And that is what he wants you to hear today. God is here right now. His spirit is in you, and he is telling you, don't be afraid. Stand on his word. Amen. Get away from the world and draw near to Jesus. Amen. This world, it'll be a short time, and it won't be here much longer. Everything that's in here will be gone. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. Will you be there? Amen. All right, that's all I have today. You can go ahead and stand. Thank you, Lord. I want to encourage you. Some of us come to Bible study. If you don't come to Bible study, find a way to study the Word together with your family, with someone. Find a way to get into the Word, even if you're not there. You know, sometimes when you come to Bible study, it's like, oh, well, then you have to make a point to study the Bible. That's why coming to Bible study is helpful. It's helpful because it helps you grow in your life. Amen. So I just want to encourage you. I don't know why, but I feel like I need to say that. All right, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Jesus, we thank you that you are inside of us. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would fill us anew, that you would fill every part of our lives. God, today, Lord, we just ask that you would cleanse our hands, our hearts, and our minds. We ask that you would forgive us, God, not only as a people, but as a city, as a state, as a nation. Every one of us, God, forgive us, Lord. We have turned from you, Lord. We have made this nation thinking that it's greater than Israel. We have made this nation into thinking that we are the ones called by your name and we are the ones who were chosen, but we are second to Israel. We are part of Israel. We are grafted in. Help us, Lord, the United States, not get haughty or prideful, but to live in humility, Father God. To love God in Jesus' name so that our hearts are not turned away from Israel. No matter what we hear on the news, no matter what happens in these coming days, Lord, help us to not be afraid. Help us, Lord, to seek your face continually, to pray, to turn from our wicked ways, to humble ourselves, to continually lean on you. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your healing power. Every person in this place, I loose the anointing, healing power that breaks the yoke over your lives. I decree and declare you are healed by Jesus' stripes from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Even those little aches and pains, from the little ones to the big ones, you are healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, receive your healing. It is for you. Let it flow through your body. Let it flow through your mind. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.